Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live with this Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly joins me as always. Lee in studio with me to anchor things down for this Thursday show. And Lee, great to see you. We've got some summer basketball that we've been looking forward to kind of diving into. This is the start today of a preview of maybe a way too early preview, we could call it, of the 2018-19 season. We're going to have our first coach with us a little bit later. Summer League basketball continues. A lot to talk about from an IU perspective with Romeo and the 2018 class now on campus. And it, I always say this, it's like a broken record, but basketball, it just never stops, especially in this area.
Yeah, I think you can tell that by the crowds that are coming to the Summer League games. I mean, these games, the regular season, according to my friend in Pittsburgh, means nothing because everybody goes to the tournament. Well, the Summer League games probably, if you look at it, mean even less. But yet, people come out, the male crowd last week or last Tuesday, very, very loud supporting their team. They kept cheering Go Bulldogs. I'm not sure if they realized that both teams were Bulldogs. But people come out, get into the games, and have a lot of fun and enjoy watching it like I do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. And the action continues tonight. So that's probably a good starting point for us here on this Thursday show. Let's take a look at the Summer League. It's the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. And on this Thursday, June 14th, there are actually four locations going on across New Albany. One is New Albany High School. That's where games will get started this afternoon at 3:30. Now, keep in mind, a $2 admission is good for any of these games at any of these four locations. So you just got to get that stamp one time. At 3:30 today, and I'm just going to give you the varsity games. Jeffersonville takes on Christian Academy of Indiana. At 4:30, Christian Academy of Indiana takes on Charlestown. 5:30, Jeffersonville against North Oldham. 6:30, Silver Creek Blue. They have two varsity teams against North Oldham. 7:30, Charlestown against St. X from across the river in Louisville. And the nightcap at New Albany at 8:30, the homestanding Bulldogs. They take on St. X from Louisville as well. Also, varsity games at Hazelwood today. These games start at 3:30. Silver Creek Orange, that's the main varsity team from Silver Creek. They take on Christian Academy of Kentucky at 3:30. At 4:30, Louisville Eastern takes on Cordon. At 5:30, Providence takes on Cordon. 6:30, Louisville Eastern takes on Silver Creek Orange. 7:30, Providence against Lanesville, varsity game. These are all varsity games. 8:30, Portland Christian against Lanesville to wrap up things at Hazelwood. And at Scribner, games get underway at 5:30. The first varsity game at Scribner tonight is Henryville against Rock Creek. At 6:30, 7:30, Rock Creek against Kentucky Country Day. And at 8:30, Henryville takes on Carroll County. Now, that's just the varsity games. At all those locations I just mentioned, there are freshmen, there are JV games taking place as well. There's two courts at every building, and tonight, Christian Academy of Indiana will be used as well. That's all middle school games starting at 4:30. So all types of summer basketball for $2, and it's been interesting. You talk about crowds. I agree that there are good crowds for summer games, especially the last couple of years. I will say, though, that I would think the majority of them are family and related to players and coaches participating. However, you can tell when the big boys are playing, and I'm talking about the New Albany's, the Jeffersonville's. I put Floyd Central in that class. When it's a big matchup like Floyd Ballard or the other night, New Albany Male or Jeffersonville Ballard, you do see some fans come in, you know, and I'm talking 20, 30, 40 people that aren't connected to anybody at the game. I talked about this the other day, and of course, it's just interesting to think about in the summertime when we're a little bored for the upcoming season. But a great schedule tonight. You've been out and taken advantage of seeing a lot of the teams, and now we've let the coaches kind of simmer on things and coach up some games the last couple of weeks. Now we're going to ask them to come on and talk with us here in June, starting today with Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, about their teams for the upcoming season. So we've given them time to coach and to work and see exactly what they've got. Brandon Hoffman, we think his group will just be fantastic next season, and he will be with us later today in the show.
Yeah, you've got 38 schools, 93 teams total, counting the JVs and the ninth grades and so on, 265 total games in 14 days. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is 6 year for the program?
6 year.
That's amazing. Yeah. So if you think back to year one or year one and two, how many schools, what was the participation like in the beginning?
Well, the league is nothing new. It's not like some great idea that we came up with. Of course, it's no secret I'm involved in running the league. New Albany kind of was the chief host of the league, Jim Shannon and his staff there. Ballard, and I got to give Chris Renner, and I'm sure it goes back even farther than that. In Kentucky and in other states, you were able to play with your high school team in the summer for years and years and years. It didn't begin in Indiana until, I don't know, the early 2000s, about the time of my senior year, I think 2001, 2, 3, somewhere in there, is when you could start playing as a full high school team in certain parts of the calendar in the summer. And we just decided to kind of maybe get Indiana and Kentucky schools a little bit more intertwined with each other. You'll notice there's not a lot of crossover during the regular season. Jeff does it some. Floyd Central has done it at times. New Albany used to play some Louisville schools, but has really backed away from that, keeping basically an all-Indiana schedule for the most part. But it's silly whether you're going to play them, whether your athletic director thinks you should, shouldn't, whether the head coach wants to go over there, doesn't want to go over there. It's silly to not take advantage of these great matchups for the summer months, because even though Louisville may not have the surroundings that we have here, the gymnasiums that look like absolute castles, the crowds and fans, the radio coverage and other things that make Southern Indiana basketball special, they have some great teams. And there are some really good coaches across the river as well. So putting these good players and good teams against Southern Indiana's good players and good teams, it's just a natural thing to do. And the thing started off small, maybe 2-3 courts I think we were using the first year. And it's grown, basically grown about every year. Last couple of years, it's been pretty close in size. But it's been fun. Again, for somebody that's never been, $2, you can't go wrong. You know, it's not a regular high school game. It's 20-minute running clocks. Often times you see coaches mass substitute. A lot of kids get playing time, even in close situations where, you know, in a lot of regular season games, you're going to see coaches play 5, 6, 7 guys at the most. It is interesting, though, because when a good game, and I list the other night, like Floyd Central played Ballard and New Albany played Mayo, I got to see the Floyd Central Ballard game. I didn't get to see the New Albany Mayo game, but even in a summer game, for as little as it means, there's no records kept. We don't post the scores. Sometime your best player's there. Sometime he's not. Sometime a varsity team will be maybe a upper-level JV team that the coach is just kind of, you know, giving some guys the night off, or they're playing somewhere else, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It is interesting, though, when even to the coaches who will say, oh, summer basketball doesn't matter. This is just, and they're right. I'm not calling anybody a liar here. But, we're just here to get better. We're here to see what we got for next season. I agree with everything. But when the game's close and it gets to the final 2-3 minutes, you see those lineups really shorten, and it become a lot like a regularly coached regular season game. You know, I mean, everybody, it's just a natural thing. You want to win in sports. But it's a lot of fun, and we like keeping people posted on this program. We'll use this program as a vehicle to continue to talk about the league by having all the coaches on here over the next, I think we're going to do it in about a week, week and a half. So, you know, for me, and for hopefully some of you that are like, it's the middle of the summer, you know, IU's players just met to start as a group in summer activities, and Cliff Marshall and some of those guys are teasing us with these pictures. They're tweeting out of the freshmen working out or the freshmen in the – I saw a picture of them with their shirts off in the cold tank. They're, you know, after, I'm sure, a grueling workout to recover. But that's about all we have to talk about and to think about and to project on for next season. Mm-hmm. So now we get the chance to actually talk to some coaches, at least at the high school level locally, that have had the chance to work with their team and practice with their team and play some league games and some shootouts with their team for a couple weeks now. And we wanted to get a way too early preview. And so we put Brandon Hoffman on the spot first today. But let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He's presented by CC Power Sports. Also, later, I mentioned Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek. He will join us to talk about his Silver Creek program. They are flush with talent and playing some really good basketball, at least for the summer right now. And I think that there's no question Silver Creek going to be one of the top programs in the area headed into the 2018-19 season. That's the guest lineup for today, presented by Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. And if you do that, you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. So make sure you take advantage of that. Also, let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines for the day. A summary of today's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And Lee, I tell you what, when you look across what's going on out there, nothing, no matter what we talk about basketball-wise right now, is bigger than Silver Creek baseball's opportunity to play for a 3A state championship game this weekend. You and I, of course, you're a Silver Creek grad. A lot of people place you because of your career as a all-New Albany person. They don't know Lee Kelly is a Creeker. And so we'll be going to Victory Field for high school baseball coverage this weekend, presented by Lemmy Law Offices and some other great sponsors that we'll be telling you about for pitch-by-pitch coverage. Victory Field is beautiful. Silver Creek has a great team. Another Clark Floyd County local area team is playing for a state championship to close out the season, and everybody is excited about it.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have a lot of people going up to watch the state final Silver Creek game especially, and probably some of the other earlier games as well, because they're baseball fans. And anytime there's a local team at Victory Field for the state championship, people go up. We saw that 2 years ago. A lot of people there that weren't connected to either Lanesville or Providence just came to see a good baseball game, and they got to see good baseball game. So I think that'll be the case on Saturday at 5 o'clock when Silver Creek meets Andrean. It is $10 to get in, and that is for the entire day. So if you wanted to go up for the Class A game, that's at 11 o'clock in the morning, or the 2A game at 2 o'clock, you certainly can do that for your same $10.
Yeah, will be fun. Look forward to it. And we'll have Coach Decker on with us tomorrow right out of the gate to start the show about 11:05. Because I understand they're leaving town and asking people to line the streets, and that creates special memories. When I think about stuff like that, I obviously go back to 2016 New Albany with the state championship, and I've never, ever taken a ride out Charlestown Road like the ride with people lining the streets. And it wasn't just one parking lot was full or here and there was full. It was just absolutely wall-to-wall people. A row or two deep, not completely deep, but just the fact that people were able to cover that much ground, that was a special memory going out there to 265 to get on the interstate with the police escorts and all the things that make things so neat for the kids and everyone really involved. And so I know that it sounds like Sellersburg and the Silver Creek officials are working on some great stuff. I've seen the other sports teams at Silver Creek putting together videos, wishing the team well and best of luck. And, you know, it just creates a great community feel in a place like Sellersburg that has always came out to support its high school teams and has had some really good teams over the years in different sports, and the opportunity for this baseball team. And again, win, lose, or draw, to be able to get to this stage is such a big deal for the community and for the school moving forward. They will be better for it no matter what happens on Saturday. Fortunately for Coach Decker, with Sammy Barnett on the mound, we would all assume the IU signee, we feel really good about their opportunity to have a chance to bring that 3A championship back to Victory Field. If I was Andrean, another great baseball program, they've been in the state finals, I don't want to say on a regular basis, but recently, they have to be concerned when you look at a semi-state score of 10-0 for Silver Creek to get there. I don't care who you played. Indian Creek surely wasn't a slouch. They had a great pitcher. We know that for sure, and he was the pitcher that got a lot of the runs scored against him. So that, I think, underscores how good Silver Creek is. But will be a lot of fun on Saturday. And, again, these times we need to think about things off the field, I think, as well, and how special they are for the kids and the other students at Silver Creek and just the community as a whole. This is what high school sports is all about. And stories like this and crowds like this and the festivities leading up to a big state championship, to me, it's what makes Southern Indiana, specifically our little part of the state, special.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's good for every school, most schools, when they reach this level of competition. It's great for the community. It's great for the school. It's great for the atmosphere inside the school. The only bad thing to me is that baseball or spring sports in general, they finish up when school's out. You know, you can just imagine what kind of enthusiasm would be inside the hallway in these schools if they were still in session and this is going on. I think they would be just bonkers. The teachers are probably glad they're not trying to calm the students down each day from the success of Silver Creek baseball. But nonetheless, it would be an exciting time, and it is as well. Just, I think it would be more exciting if school was still in session.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other quick headlines. And again, our headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Big list cuts, big announcements the last couple days by some of the key 2019 players. This is coming from an out-of-state player, but a name that is very familiar at this point to IU fans, Trendon Watford, the younger brother of Christian Watford. He cut his list to what he's calling a top eight, so I guess we shouldn't necessarily eliminate anyone, but here are the eight schools that he lists in his top eight: Memphis, TCU, Alabama, Kansas, Vanderbilt, LSU, Florida State, and Indiana. So the Hoosiers thought to be in pretty good shape for this out-of-state player. Biggest competition. Some people have said it's the schools in the South, maybe Alabama, maybe LSU as well. But again, we've seen Keon Brooks. We've seen others cut their lists lately. DJ Carton did it earlier this week, announcing some visits as well. Indiana is making the cut for a lot of these players that we assume that they would, that Archie now has been recruiting for a year or more. I guess in most cases, the more would be the correct answer there, since he and his team arrived in Bloomington to take over the IU basketball situation. So Trendon Watford, boy, what a get he would be to mix in with some of the in-state talent in the 2019 class to follow up on the great momentum that the 2018 group has brought in, of course, headlined by Romeo Langford. So that will be interesting. One other thing of interest, we talk so much college basketball on the program and about the changes and the landscape and all the things going on out there with transfers. It's hard to not mention this. A NCAA rule change was announced yesterday. Beginning in October of this year, Division I student athletes — this just isn't college basketball, but obviously college basketball will be greatly affected, I think, by this rule — but beginning in October, Division I student athletes will have the ability to transfer to a different school and receive a scholarship without asking their current school or university for permission. The Division I Council adopted a proposal this week that creates a new, quote, notification of transfer, end quote, model. This new system allows a student to inform his or her current school of a desire to transfer, then requires that school to enter the student's name into a national transfer database within 2 business days. Once the student athlete's name is in the database, other coaches are free to contact that individual. Still, though, with that being said, conferences can still add restrictions and limit this national rule from the NCAA. So now the interesting thing will be, will the Big Ten still regulate if you can transfer to a school within the conference and those sorts of things? So interesting. A lot of questions about this rule. A lot of people think it's the right way to go, that it might actually help with transfer situations. It might help with the recruiting that was perceived in some situations around college basketball transfers. So nonetheless, an interesting offseason rule change that I'm sure we'll hear more about and talk more about very soon.
I wonder how long before the first lawsuit from a player who wants to play for another team in the conference. I figure it's got to happen. The other thing, I think I saw this morning where they've also changed the rule about football players and eligibility, and they can play now, if I understood the article and I read it quickly, they can play up to 4 games and then get a medical, get a redshirt year out of it, where before if they played 1 minute, that was an entire season. If I read the article correctly, now they can play up to 4 games and then have still come back and play the next year.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw that. That may be correct. I will say this, it sure seems like to me the NCAA trying to make some aggressive rule changes, because I think they recognize some of the issues that are out there, maybe some of the things that are brewing even against them as a governing body. And it's an interesting situation because, you know, we talk about the IHSA here in Indiana. It's an organization. There's a leader. There's a way that people are appointed and elected to the board, who hires the ultimate leader of the group. With the NCAA, it's a member-regulated institution. And so, you know, it's very, very interesting about how that comes together and at what point who's guilty and who points fingers at who. But no question, and that's a whole other topic for probably a whole other show, but there's no question that they are making some very, I think, aggressive rule changes. Some of them I have really liked. Some I'm really not sure of just yet. None I've really thought, oh, that's a terrible idea. So it will be interesting to see how it works out. That's a look at the headlines on this Thursday edition of the program. The headlines, the Hoosier headlines we call them, to start each show is presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill, where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. One final reminder before we get out for the first break. The 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards, a limited number remain, and they are absolutely a terrific Father's Day present. Very easy to get one if you want to get one sent out to you immediately. BigXSportsRadio.com. Again, log on to BigXSportsRadio.com or call 812-725-1457. We'll head to a commercial break. Lee and I are back with Lee Kelly. Lee and I are back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Lots of IU basketball conversation coming up next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our segment with Alex each Thursday presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store, right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders, welcome, and of course, racers, welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, I mentioned earlier that, you know, summer league basketball, talking to the high school coaches in the offseason, and pictures from Cliff Marshall and others of the IU guys leaving workouts or moving in or in the cold tank relaxing after a long, grueling workout. That's about all we have right now to go off of for IU basketball, other than a lot of good recruiting news we'll talk about. But it's just one of those things where everybody is so hungry for the season. Everybody is so hungry for this team to get together and get on the court and see what they look like all put together. Unfortunately, it's just June 14th.
Yeah, a long way to go. I think I wrote, did those off-season Big Ten power rankings yesterday, and I had to kind of look and see what the timing was before the first game, and we're still a little bit less than 5 months before the first game. So quite a long way to go. Could be a long off season. The one thing I've kind of commented on before, it seems like under Archie Miller, one of the main differences is there's just not as much news and things like that coming out of the program. I think there's a more stability with the program. So it's kind of a quiet time for news. And I think people, some of those things you mentioned, the pictures from Cliff Marshall, the video of the guys arriving on campus, people are eating that stuff up because it's basically all they're getting at this point. And, you know, obviously the update a couple weeks ago from Archie out at Huber's was pretty good in terms of getting a lot of information about how certain guys are doing. But it's going to be a long time, especially, you know, with how excited people are about next season, wanting to see all the new guys, especially Romeo, and a lot of just a lot of positive vibes about what next season could become. It's definitely going to be a long wait before it gets here.
You know, Alex, one of the things I like about this time of year, there's nothing going on. First of all, if you're an athlete, you don't want to do anything wrong during this time of year because it'll be front page news for weeks because there's nothing else going on. But secondly, all of the experts that are out there, and I'm talking about just people that are fans like me, but they all have an insight. I've been told that Romeo is definitely going after one, and I've been told that Romeo is going to stay 4 years because that's what his parents want him to do, so, and everything in between. So it's interesting to me to see the take, and we heard the same thing. Romeo was going to go to an academy of some kind each year at New Albany when he was there. So it's just interesting as people tell these things. I'm not sure where they come from, but the rumors are almost humorous in the way they're coming out and what's being said.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in my position, I don't have the luxury of being able to throw anything out there because people will remember things I say and then bring them back on me. So hopefully that's not the case with those Big Ten power rankings that I did yesterday. I'm sure when January or February rolls around, there's a team that I picked to finish 10th or 11th, and they're in third or fourth place in the Big Ten, which will inevitably happen. That fan base will be sending me stuff on Twitter. But yeah, it's one of those things where, as you mentioned, you just, you know, you don't want to be in the headlines for the wrong reason. And right now, if anything happens, it's going to be front page news because there's just not much going around. And a lot of other schools have the luxury of, you know, this is a time where a lot of people are looking forward to football, the start of camp in the fall. Even in a place like Louisville, you know, they care much more about football than they do in Indiana. Where at Indiana, unlike most programs, there's probably only a handful in the country where football is just something to pass the time before basketball starts. You know, once IU football loses a couple games and maybe flips out of contention for a bowl game or kind of on the border, you know, people will immediately shift their focus to basketball. It's a 365-day-a-year sport. And, you know, with the rumors, as you mentioned, you know, it's something people can't control. Obviously, there's nothing to talk about, so people want to bring things up and try to put theories out there. But, you know, going through the whole Romeo recruitment, and there were so many twists and turns with, you know, he was going to go to Vanderbilt, and oh, he liked North Carolina because Roy Williams came and visited him, you know, a couple days after they won the championship. Oh, he was going to go to Kentucky. It was Louisville. It was Kansas. And ultimately, nobody really knew until the end, you know, where a lot of people started to feel more confident that he was going to go to Indiana. But I don't think really anybody outside of a small group of people knew until he actually got up on that stage. So a lot of the stuff is fun to, you know, talk about. I'm sure that's going to be a huge debate. You know, if Romeo comes out his first couple games and lights it up at IU, people are going to start moving him up to mock drafts and talking about how he's a one and done, or if he struggles, it's going to be, oh, is he ready to go after 1 year? So that's kind of the nature of the society that we live in now with social media and message boards and, you know, Facebook and all those different platforms for people to put information out there. You can't put a whole lot of stock in most of it, but it's fun to pass the time, definitely in the off season when there's not a whole lot going on.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, joining us, and Alex is always with us Thursdays. It's presented by CC Power Sports. Let me ask you this, Alex: as far as recruiting goes, from a very general perspective, because we've talked so much about Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. We're beginning to talk more and more about some of the other 2019 prospects from Indiana. We've talked a lot over the last year or so about Trendon Watford as his career has progressed, some other out-of-state guys as well. Generally, right now, Archie Miller and his staff, as they get ready for the team camp later this month, which is what I want to talk about next, followed by the big July recruiting period coming up here in just a few weeks, really. Is it a fair projection that for where you could be with guys, and again, a lot can change, school can swoop in that maybe he's not even involved with the player just yet in the 2019 class and end up being the winner in the race. But for a number of guys in-state and out-of-state that have cut their list, that are beginning to make announcements about official visits and those sorts of things, Indiana seems to be in a good spot with a lot of prospects, again, in and out-of-state, that are very well thought of, not just here in Indiana, but on, or not just in their respective area, but on a national level.
Yeah, I mean, I think the names you have to really focus in on right now are obviously Trace Jackson Davis. You know, we've talked about him so much, but Indiana seems to be in a really, really good position there. And then DJ Carton, I think, is really the next kind of domino that could potentially fall. The fact that he's already set up official visits for the summer suggests to me that decisions coming sooner or later. Most of the talk has been about Michigan and Indiana. Michigan's getting the first shot at the official visits in Indiana. That one, I think, could, you know, if that goes in Indiana's favor, that could be huge in terms of the foundation, because you're talking about a top 30, top 35 kid nationally who's from the Big Ten footprint. He's a point guard, so he kind of gives you, solidifies your depth. You already got Robert Fennessy. You get DJ Carton. Your point guard depth for the foreseeable future is really solidified at that point. And then, you know, I think most people feel like Trace Jackson Davis is going to end up in Bloomington. If that happens, you know, there's a lot of different ways Indiana can go with the rest of the class. You know, I think they would still try to go after Trendon Watford and Keon Brooks pretty hard. I think they're in pretty good position with both of those guys, although I don't know that either one of them is close to a decision. And then, as you mentioned, some of the in-state guys, you know, they made a move now with Armand Franklin offering a scholarship there. We'll see what happens with Brandon Newman, the kid from Valparaiso, who seems like he's played really well this spring, played good in the Indiana Junior Senior All-Star Exhibition game. So, yeah, they're in really good shape. I think, ideally, for any program, if you can land a couple commitments, like, you know, either in June, July, or August, you can really give yourself a chance to kind of get a good baseline. And then when going into the fall official visits and getting guys on campus, you have a chance of really stacking up a monster class, because I don't think ideally you want to go to the spring very often to get recruits. You want to have everything kind of solidified in the fall if you can. And things are shaping up that Indiana could have a pretty nice recruiting class by the time November rolls around if some things break their way like most think that they will.
Alex, I was trying to look this morning on Rivals just so I had some kind of working knowledge and didn't sound like a complete idiot trying to talk high school recruiting with you guys. You and Matt know much more than I do. I just happened to take a look at the class of 2020, and there's only one Indiana young man mentioned on there. It's Trey Galloway of Culver Academy. Is that saying something about the quality of basketball for that class 2020, or is it just too early for a lot of the kids to have been mentioned or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little early still. I think there's a chance that some guys get ranked after July. Two that I'm thinking of specifically are Anthony Leal from Bloomington South, who I'm sure you've seen. I like him a lot. I think he's a Big Ten level recruit. We'll see how that goes. And the other kid is Trey Coleman from Jeffersonville. I think he's another guy with a lot of upside. You know, he's been kind of a fringe guy in terms of getting into the rankings the last couple of months. And I think if he has a strong summer, he could be another guy that you see pop up on some lists. But at this point, there's just no headlining type of recruits. I mean, 2018, you had Romeo and a lot of other top, you know, four-star type recruits. And then obviously 2019 with Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, you got, you know, those five-star type talents. 2020, doesn't look, at least like right now on paper, that it's going to have a five-star recruit, but it could have a couple guys You mentioned Trey Galloway. I think Leal's going to be a guy who's going to end up probably at Big Ten level. You know, those are guys that, maybe you don't aren't the centerpiece of your class, but they can help you win games. I mean, you look at guys like Leal and, Galloway, and they're not, it's not a perfect comparison, but you look at a guy like Dakota Mathias, who went to Purdue. He was not really, a five-star level talent, but he helped them win a lot of games over 4 years, and those are the kind of guys you need in your program. You know, everyone is focused on Romeo and the, top-level guys. I think that's what gets you over the top in terms of getting to a Final Four, winning a championship, but you also need those 3 or 4 year players who are going to, you know, maybe come in as freshmen, not play very much, and then kind of build over time. And I think, you know, with Galloway and Leal specifically, both of those guys could, fit that bill perfectly.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Final subject, Alex. I know we've been all over the board today, but you and I, we went to the team camp together that Archie, I don't want to say threw together, but put together in his first year. It was something that I think came about a little later than what you expect it might, and it still featured a lot of talent. I can remember with you watching Trace Jackson Davis play some great basketball with his Center Grove team, and of course would go on to get offered and now become a top prospect for IU. I can remember for the first time seeing Jerome Hunter. I think he was actually offered during or right after the team camp before he ended up committing to Indiana. And I understand this year the field, if we thought last year was good, the field is just going to be unbelievable. I hear New Albany, Floyd Central, and Jeffersonville are all going locally, which makes sense. New Albany has Langford this, just now entering the program. I'm sure that he will be around the program working this summer. Floyd Central has a great player in Kobe Barnes, who's been to some Hoosier Hysteria events before and would be, I think, a fringe prospect given he's in-state for Indiana. Trey Coleman, you mentioned, his Division I recruiting has really been skyrocketing. Even got a Big Ten offer recently from Nebraska. I'm hearing Newcastle, which has Mason Gillis, will be there. Forest Park, Culver Academies, who Lee just mentioned. Indianapolis Cathedral, Center Grove, Warren Central, Bloomington South. I'm trying to go down the list here. Evansville Wrights, and I'm just touching on a list of the teams that will be there. My point is, there are, just on the teams that I named, a lot of prospects that Indiana either is very involved with or some younger guys that Indiana has at least made contact with and is aware of. I think that the team camp is setting up to be a yearly big deal in the state of Indiana for Archie Miller, and what a refreshing thing it is to see that event not just return like it did last year under Coach Miller, but become a, really a showcase event for top teams in the state of Indiana.
I mean, it's a no-brainer from an IU perspective, right? You get these teams to come play in your facilities. They get to kind of get a feeling of what it's like to play in the buildings. They get, you know, a chance to be around the coaching staff. You know, if you're the coaching staff and you can get Trace Jackson Davis on campus, you can get Arlon Franklin on campus, you can get some of these other younger prospects on campus and, you know, start building that relationship. You know, it's open to the public so people can actually come watch in a lot of cases. And so there's really no reason not to have it. And I think it's been a great addition to what's already been a, you know, pretty clear recruiting plan to build the program from inside and then move out. It was disappointing, I think, for a lot of fans late in the Tom Crean era that he didn't have something like this. And it was one of those things people could point to. They said, you know, his relationships with the high school coaches in the state weren't great. Well, Archie Miller, by establishing this team camp and getting all these great teams to come, you know, it's basically you're reaching out to these programs, you're trying to build relationships with coaches, and more importantly, you're building relationships with recruits, and that's going to be the lifeblood of your program moving forward. So I think it's a terrific thing. Hopefully it becomes a yearly staple and something that people and, you know, the kids, you know, some of the kids that will never be recruited by Indiana will be able to say, hey, I got a chance to play on Assembly Hall's floor, or I got a chance to play in Cook Hall, or I got a chance to look at the locker room, or, you know, get talk to Archie Miller or talk to the assistant coaches or spend time taking a picture with Romeo Langford while I'm up there. So I think overall it's a great thing, and looking forward to seeing how it continues to grow over the years to come.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Stop in to CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, look forward to catching up with you soon. We'll talk with you for sure next Thursday, and thanks for coming back with us this week.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. A reminder, Big X Sports Radio golf card, great Father's Day gift, a handful still available, and you need to get on it right now. You go to BigXSportsRadio.com, you click on the golf card logo, or call 812-725-1457. Summer basketball, way too early preview of the Silver Creek Dragons coming up next with Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman with Lee and I next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment here on this Thursday show, and we are going to be talking over the next week, week and a half, with all of the area basketball coaches for a summer update on how things are looking now that they've had a couple weeks to work with their team. Our goal here is to hear some names, find out what teams are up to this summer, and give the casual fan an update on what to expect way too early for the 2018-19 season. And I got to tell you that I wanted to have Brandon Hoffman on for two reasons. Number one, he's fun to catch up with on the radio. But number two, of all the teams that I have seen so far from our immediate area and even beyond, his team has been one of the outstanding teams just as far as talent. And when you think to put things together in your mind of what you could see happening next season, he has a lot to work with. And this summer, going to be big for them to figure out. He has so many different players going through the program right now, exactly what he has, and maybe give him an opportunity to experiment with different lineups about how to use people best. And that way, when the Dragons get to the start of the season and into the season a bit, they can be playing some really good basketball. Lee, you and I have said we think Silver Creek, a program that can do a lot of damage, not just here locally, but on a statewide level over the next few years. And we welcome in Brandon Hoffman to the program to talk some high school basketball, coach, in the middle of June, only in Southern Indiana, right?
No kidding. You know, I think every coach would agree. June, the month of June, has become part of the basketball season. And it's one of the busiest months of the season for every coach in Indiana.
Let's just start with this. And I'm going to ask every coach very similar questions here. You just happen to be first up on the block. Joe Luce from Jeffersonville is up tomorrow. What do you look to get out of this month? And what do you guys do? What are your goals, and how do you? What different things do you do to try to accomplish those goals here in the month of June?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you were talking in the introduction, Matt. It's a good way for us to kind of get a sneak peek of what we can expect in the season. And a good way to, you know, work on different lineups and give people different opportunities. You know, in the summer, we still have guys, you know, going on vacation and practicing with other sports. And, you know, we're in a situation this summer with our baseball team going to state Saturday. And it gives, you know, guys opportunities as well, you know, that, you know, to prove that they can play at a, you know, at a higher level. So, we do that, and at the same time, we don't take it too serious. You know, it's all about just getting experience, and the main thing is just the camaraderie and guys staying together and playing together.
Coach, you've got a lot of players that can play at the varsity level, and I'm assuming that's one of the reasons why you have two varsity teams playing in the summer league, and I'm sure doing other activities this summer. That's a blessing and a curse at times. At least it has been for some coaches through the year, but I think it's a good way to approach the season.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, like I said earlier, Lee, it's all about you know, getting reps and game time in for these guys. The more, the better. And, you know, when we earlier scheduled to have two varsity teams, you know, we thought we'd have some more guys, and we're kind of stretched for success, and we would not have it any other way. But it's really good. These guys are getting a lot of reps, and, you know, guys that may see some JV or split quarters or do whatever, they're playing against other full-time varsity guys, and they've held their own really well.
Talking with Brandon Hoffman, Brandon, the head coach at Silver Creek, describe at this early point your team for next season. You've got some key returning players, Zane Gross, someone that we featured before here on this program, but you also have a lot of younger guys. Some were in the program last year in your JV and varsity ranks that maybe didn't get as much time as they'll see this season. And you've got a lot of incoming freshmen even that I think have the opportunity. I know you're trying to figure this out as well at some level to really help Silver Creek basketball next year.
You're right, Matt. You know, we have, I think Zane's 50 points away from being a 1,000-point scorer for us. But, along with him, we have two sophomores that are getting a lot of press and had great springs, and Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby. They're going to be really special players. And Ty Kessinger, who was kind of a backup guard for us last year, has improved leaps and bounds, and we're really happy with the way he's played. And, we have some other role players. Josh Landers has had a great summer for us. You know, he's kind of balancing football and basketball. He's a starting quarterback. We have someone, like you mentioned, we've got some incoming freshman, Brandon Northern. His dad, Bryant, was a heck of a player. And he's going to be, thrown to the mix as well. And we have guys, Jack Hawkins, who's having a great baseball season. No, he hasn't been with us yet, but, he's been a two-year starter and coming back. So a difference in the teams that we've had in the past, we're going to be able to score a lot more. I expect us, we may give up some more points, but I plan on scoring a lot more points. And we're going to have a lot of weapons, that's for sure.
As a Silver Creek alum and looking back, this may be the most successful athletic time in the history of Silver Creek. If you look at the football program under Coach Dablo and the baseball program under Coach Decker, the basketball program, Coach Albrand in tennis, it's just been, and I'm sure there's others that I've left out, and I apologize, but it is a time where Silver Creek athletics is just prospering at all levels.
I tell you what, Lee, I was going to, when Matt called me and texted me and asked if I'd be on the radio, that was going to be the big point I was going to bring up. You know, our baseball team is, they're phenomenal, and they're kind of putting the icing on the cake of a great athletic year. I mean, the soccer team won their sectional, tennis won their sectional. You know, football had a great, they had a great season, lost to eventual state champion. Our basketball team won 20 games, and it's just been a great thing at Silver Creek, and we have great kids. You know, sometimes our facilities get bashed, and we get a bad rep for that, but we're successful because of the kids we have, and it's just fun to be a part of.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek joining us today. We're getting a way too early look at his team for the 2018-19 season. You talked a little bit about June and what you hope to accomplish. You've given us kind of an overview of your team for next season. How excited are the guys? Do you feel like, even though it's hot, even though it's, maybe rotations done different than what you'll do in a regular game and coaching games a little different, that maybe not as hard as what you will in the November, December, all the way through the tournament time frame. Do you think your guys, old and young, kind of understand that if this all goes the way it can, and if they put in the work, and if they listen to you and your coaching staff, do you think they have a sense about what Silver Creek basketball can be?
I think so, Matt. I think it's no secret that we've gotten to the regional for the last five times, but it's time to, the expectations are more than that. And our kids are, they're kids. They're I don't think they're phased or rattled by any basketball games anymore because they play so much. But they know that they have a lot at stake. We talk about that. There's a fine line between being hungry and overconfident. And we got to make sure they stay on the hungry side, but still, still know that there's a lot of opportunities for this group, and they're fun to coach. We got a lot of great kids, and they're fun to coach.
Brandon Hoffman, Silver Creek, our first of many coaches that will join us here over the next week and a half to take an early look at their team. Coach Hoffman, thanks for the timeout. I know you guys are in the middle of workouts right now, and I think have some games later tonight. So we will let you go. And, hey, a bright future, not just for the next couple months or next couple seasons, but I think a very bright future for you guys at Silver Creek. And we'll sure look forward to having many conversations with you throughout the season.
Always a pleasure to talk to my guys with you guys. And best of luck to our baseball team once again on Saturday. It's a great thing. Playing for a state championship.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, he is our first coach to join us here smack dab in the middle of June, talking high school basketball with summer league play underway. We'll have Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce on tomorrow. Had a chance to talk with him yesterday. He is excited about his team. He's excited about Trey Coleman and where his recruiting is going, and he's going to join us for an update on all of that and more tomorrow. And each day next week, we'll have a coach with us to take a look at what they expect and what they've seen so far from their team for the 2018-19 season, which Lee Kelly, I wish, was here right now.
I agree. I'm ready. All right, let's take a look at golf action from yesterday. The state finals held at Prairie View Golf Club in Carmel, Indiana, which I am told is a beautiful golf course. It is a par 72. The state champion was Carmel, 601 strokes to win it by one over Center Grove. Floyd Central was the only local team represented there, and they came in 10th. With a 646. If we look at individuals, Jeffersonville had senior Jay Williams, who finished in a tie for 17th with a shot of 151 for the two-day tournament. And also coming in with a tie for 17th is junior Joey Wiseman of Corydon, also with a 151.
Lee Kelly, thanks so much for being with me. Look forward to being with you Saturday for the 3A state championship game in Indianapolis. Join us tomorrow. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison right here on the Big X Sports Radio.